Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, we are moving along. It's only 87 days now until the Century Tournament of Champions on your beautiful Kapalua Plantation course, where we can expect some partly sunny skies, isolated showers in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon, and those variable winds keep lingering 5 to 50 miles per hour. So lots of water. Lots of water on the course. It's going to be between 85 and 90 degrees. Humidity factoring in, it's going to feel a whole lot warmer than that. Got a great show lined up for you. Of course, got a lot of golf going on. Epson Tour Championship, 7 cards into the LPGA, up for it now. That's a major event. LPGA MediHeal Championship are going into the final months of the LPGA, heading into their championship. Open de España, Club de Campo Villa de Madrid, in Madrid, Spain, and it's great to see John Rahm playing so well. Shriners Children's Open, TPC Summerlin, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Constellation Furyk and Friends, Timaquana Country Club in Jacksonville, Florida. So much going on in the world of golf. You know, next year it's not going to sound like this. Well, not completely. So I've got a great lineup for you. We're going to wrap everything up with Ron Cyrak today. Diana DeLucia is with us. John Lindert, the PGA Vice President. Tom Wishon, leading golf club designer for more than 33 years. Author, he'll be with us. Speaking of authors, Matt Adams, host of Fairways of Life with Matt Adams, host of Golf Channel's Golf Central, and a multiple-time New York Times best-selling author after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And here is Matt Adams, the host of Fairways of Life. It's free via Fairways of Life app on both iOS and Android systems. Golf Channel host and reporter. Matt is live weekdays. It starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time around the world via the Fairways of Life app. And, of course, if you can't catch it live, you can also listen to the podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. You get it. Multiple New York Times best-selling author Matt Adams' book, his 12th, the last time we went through everything, and now I've got to ask him, the golf round I'll never forget was the name of that one. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Good. Are you working on another book, perchance?
You know, I would guess most authors, if you ask them that question, they'll tell you we're always working on another book. I'm not actively writing a book right now, but, you know, my mind wanders greatly, and I'm very interested. There's this fascinating story of a pirate queen that was the captain of multiple ships in the late 1500s in Ireland, and she kept evading the British authorities until she was a huge fan of the Queen, and they ultimately arranged for her to meet with the Queen. It was one of these things, like, it sounds to be very much like a miniseries. So that has captured my current imagination. That's what I'm kind of diving into from a history standpoint. So who knows? Maybe I'll write something about that.
Wow. I'm fascinated. I want it to be a miniseries. I can see the costumes. I can see everything. That's magnificent, her kneeling before the Queen. Thank you for those images, because it sure beats the stuff we got going on in golf right now.
Well, there's a lot of kneeling going on. There's no doubt about that. I'm not sure if it's in many cases, it strikes me as a bit of an overreaction with what's happening to the game, because ultimately, as long-suffering as golf is, golf is going to be fine. Golf always rises above circumstance that, you know, for a couple different reasons, in my view. One is that people tend to view the game only through the spectrum of the game at its top tier. Now, when you talk about the NFL, when you talk Major League Baseball in particular, it's easy to look at NBA, et cetera. It's easy to look at those sports and go, okay, that's the pinnacle of the sport, and everything that happens at that level drives the sport at every other level. But when you go a little bit deeper into that, and you go, wait a minute, there's college football, there's high school football, and some of there is with baseball, and Little League, and et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden you find out, and it's the same thing with golf, that golf, as a multi-billion dollar business, the vast majority of the business is driven at the participation level, if you please, at the amateur level. And the game is as healthy as it's ever been. So the game is driving better than it's ever been before in terms of sales, in terms of rounds played, in terms of bringing new people into the game, in terms of retaining people into the game, in terms of the mix, the gender mix of those who are coming into the sport, in terms of the ethnicity of those who are coming into the sport. On every level, the game of golf is healthier than it's ever been before. But because there is a competitive divide at its top tier, everyone looks at it and goes, ah, the game is in disarray. The game's not in disarray. The game's in extremely healthy shape, better than it's ever been before. However, at the top tier of the competitive side, there is this divide between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. And my personal opinion is that I think golf is going to find its path. It's going to find a way to either coexist or to come together in some way between these two entities. And so outside of that, I see, you know, I see a lot of, I guess I'd call it panic, Danielle, and I think it's undue in a lot of ways, because I think the game is going to find its path.
I'm not sure I find a panic so much as I find it's not pretty. You know, it's ugly. There's personalities that are insisting on having something that most people know that they're going to have to wait for. There is a time period that you go through when you start a tournament, and I'm specifically speaking about the official world ranking points. You start something, you apply to have your tournament earn, the players earn official world ranking points, and you know, it's looked at, it's they go through the process. And now it seems like we demand this to happen now, and if you don't do it now, it's like all these egos are...
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay.
That's what it is. You've got all these people drinking their own wine, and so you do. There's a lot of bullying that's being said. There's a lot of threats, you know, loss of credibility and all this other. To me, it's a lot of noise, and a lot of it is comedy based upon where this is coming from. When you're talking about LIV Golf and the MENA Tour is an interesting approach that they took, because the MENA Tour is a world ranking accredited organization that plays 54 holes event. Okay, well, if the World Ranking Association has accredited a 54 hole tournament, and if the other areas of credibility that have to be the requirements are met, then I'm okay with I don't have an issue with LIV getting world ranking points. Rory McIlroy said the same thing. But you have to go through the process. You have to make sure that you check the proper boxes. You have to make sure that you do what's necessary. It can't be rushed through. It can't be shamed through. It can't be bullied through. Just none of that is going to work. And there's plenty of that bullying approach on both sides, frankly. So that it's just that's the part that's kind of a joke, to be fair. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think that defines the game. And the game is so well established. I heard a lot of people use the phrase, the current ecosystem was the way they would phrase it. If you look at the world ranking board, the board is made up of predominantly those people. There's from the Augusta National, PGA of America, PGA Tour. They still call it European Tour on their website, but of course it's now called the DP World Tour, et cetera. Those are the people that are going to sit on that board and decide who ultimately gets in or doesn't get in. My hope is that if it's an organization, LIV or otherwise, that meets the criteria, then they get in on the merits of them getting in because of the criteria, not because of bullying, not because of special access, and that they don't get denied for the same reasons. If it's legit, it's legit that they should get in there. The question that I have with Live Right Along has been the same, and I've never really heard it adequately answered, which was to say, if Live Golf was not funded by the Saudi royal family and the public investment fund, if the money came from Elon Musk or what's the name of the guy that owns Amazon?
Bezos or somebody.
Yeah. If the money came from someone like that, just massive sums of money, would we have the same outrage? Would it be grounds for moral outrage? Is there a pathway down the road where, say, funding comes in and the public investment fund or the so-called Saudi Arabian investment was diluted to a point where it was percentages for, similar to what the kind of, you look at the players, they have ADP on their hats, they have FedEx logos on their shirts, they have Disney, they have Visa, et cetera, et cetera. These are all companies that have taken hundreds of millions or billions of dollars from that exact same Saudi Arabian fund that we're criticizing golf on. The Saudi Arabians will spend and have spent more money on Uber than they will on the game of golf. Is it okay for all of us to utilize all these things because it makes it convenient for us to live our lives, but we cast judgment on another person? Well, that other person right now is working solely for the public investment fund from the Saudi royal family. So my feeling is, if it's diluted to a point where you get other investors or advertisers or whatever terminology they want to use in terms of funding that comes in that pushes them down to a point where it's equivalent to what these other people do, well, then you can't really stand in its way, because it'd be Hippocratic hypocrisy when the fact that this money's already in all these other companies we live with every day and that are deeply entrenched in the game of golf. So those are the type of things where I say I think it's going to find a path. It's going to settle at some point, because no matter how much money you have, the prince or otherwise, eventually somebody's going to say, where's the return on what we're getting here? I get that we want to promote people to come to Saudi Arabia when we build these world-class, five-plus star resorts. But at this point, that's not happening. Even if they have a long-game perspective on it, right now all they're doing is just pouring out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. So anyway, that's one guy's perspective.
Being part of it, I mean, to a degree, all of this talk about all of this money and all of this money being poured into these guys' pockets for just leaving one place to go to another place to play, it's with most of the people on the planet starving, when you look at numbers, it's ugly. That's the ugly part of it. It's the money part of it. I just want to make everybody understand, not necessarily understand, just kind of let you know what MENA, what is that? Middle East and North Africa tour. That's what that is. And those players are already getting points, as you pointed out, Matt, and 54 holes is what they play. So, and I have I would never question the integrity of the people at Augusta National. Maybe I'm stupid. The PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, all the people on that board, and all they said was, only after the review is complete will the decision be made on awarding points to the MENA Tour's new limited field tournaments defined by the MENA Tour in its regulations as any MENA Tour approved tournament, which comprises of a player field of less than 80 players. Players competing in Live Golf Invitational Series events sent a letter to the official world ranking people seeking points, and they want it retroactively, and they want it now, and they're just, this statement about they're after when we finish the review, we'll make a decision. Stop it. You're already getting millions. It's just kind of creepy, and I think it makes people sit back and go, This isn't, you guys talk about integrity in this game and all that stuff, and we're not seeing a lot about it. You base all of your, we teach children the right and wrong ways of doing things, and you call fouls on yourself. That's what we always say, that we have so much integrity. Well, it doesn't look like there's very much integrity going on in this argument, that this fight they're having with the egos at the door banging on each other's heads. And that's all.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's precisely what it is. There's a tremendous amount of egos banging on each other's heads. What's interesting is that when you get away from the press releases and the bravado and just flat-out adrenaline-driven, testosterone-driven egos, the people behind the scenes, even a lot of players that I know, professional, touring professional, they are not happy at all with the way this is going. They're not happy with the deeply entrenched lines in the sands that they're seeing. They would rather see, and Rory McIlroy epitomized it the last time he addressed the media when he said, you know, I'd like to see some way that the game is not torn apart, that people are working towards a resolution and a solution instead of just building up walls, which is a lot of what's happening right now. And so, yeah, there's a lot of bravado to it, and it's going to take time. And obviously, we know from the courts, et cetera, it's going to take a lot of time for all this to settle itself out. This is not something. We're nowhere near the end of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
To paraphrase Winston Churchill, it's maybe the end of the beginning at best, and I'm not even sure it's that. So there's many, many more innings to go with this thing. I do think that the different adversaries on both sides have been surprised at how resolute each side is to carry on. You know, you think back to March when Jay Monahan said to the media that we're moving on, which seemed like with a brush stroke of the hand that they were done with LIV Golf and they were going to move on beyond it. Well, in military terms, there's a phrase that says the enemy has a vote, and the enemy has voted, and then this form of escalation has gone on. So there are voices within the game of golf. They're saying, whoa, 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 what we need to do here is slow all this down and promote conversation with, not just build up walls between. So that'll all be very interesting. And the money side of it that you referenced too, you know, in modern sport, that is such the case. We hear about these contracts with whether they're baseball players or basketball players or football players that are outrageous sums of money to mere mortals. And for the first time it's floating around in the world of golf, the difference is in the world of golf, you get this sense of the agenda that's behind it because it makes no sense in terms of the size of our marketplace. We are, by comparison to those other sports, a tiny sport. We're a very, very small sport at its highest level. And the money doesn't make any sense. There's people that I have spoken to that are coaches of or agents of these players, and they'll tell me, players that have gone to LIV, and they'll tell me with their chest puffed out going, well, they're finally getting paid what they deserve. And I hear that and I go, paid what they deserve? How do you equate that against the marketplace?
Yep.
To which they simply go, hey, they're getting paid by the marketplace. LIV is part of the marketplace. But it's not based upon any structure of a return of an investment
exactly.
In terms of here's the money we put out, here's what we expect to get back from the money that we put in. It's a very, very it's throwing off that whole ecosystem, to use their phrase again, that they've put in place, because there's no real clear avenue to say, well, this is how it works on the other side. So I still, going back to what I said to you earlier, I still believe that ultimately people want to get value. No matter how much money someone has, they want value for what they spend. And at some point, I have a feeling someone's going to go, you know what, this doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. It does, dollars and cents just don't add up.
Well, I certainly would like that to happen, because it's not pretty. It was nice to see Greg Norman saying that he'd like to talk, but not yet. You know, it everything is not quite yet. I think even Rory McIlroy said it's not quite the time to do that. So there we go. So, all right. Anything else? What is on your mind about this game?
You know what? Like I said, I'm excited about everything that's happening in the world of golf outside of the debate that those guys are having, and that I think it's natural that we all get vested very much emotionally in what's going on at the top tier on the professional level. But I really think that the story is being missed because of that drama that exists up there, of what's going on in every other facet of the game. the game of golf right now is stronger than it's ever been. It got a massive boost through COVID because people found it as a safe activity, as a fun activity, as an activity they can share with friends, family, et cetera. So the way that the world culturally shifted over the last few years went right to the benefit of the game of golf. And we entered this year, calendar year, with many of the manufacturing companies, because of shipping delays, et cetera, but also because of heavy demand, being in a position where they just couldn't even fill orders. There was, you had to wait weeks or months to get product. We've not seen that before. It is so remarkable. So the things that are happening around the game of golf are so positive. If you and I had this similar conversation even 5 years ago, and you asked me about the underpinning health in the game of golf, I would tell you that many facilities were over-leveraged, the debt level was crushing to them, that they're all just kind of hanging on, many, many of them. All of that seems to have switched the other way currently. Now, we know that we sit on the precipice potentially of dramatic economic shifts in the world because of the cycles that we're seeing right now. But as we speak at this moment, golf is extremely healthy, and I think that's a really cool story.
That is a really cool story, and I'm glad to wrap it up there. I'd like to also point out there was a tweet from a Tiger Woods organization, Tiger Woods himself. I am happy to share that Pop Stroke Golf in Port St. Lucie will debut two new redesigned 18-hole putting courses by TGR Design by Tiger Woods on October 8th, which just happens to be today. We hope you enjoy them, and I think that's awesome. Thanks so much for being on the show, Matt Adams.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Anytime you want.
Thank you. Aloha. Going to come back and talk of clubs, the 12 myths that could wreck your golf game. Tom Wishon, leading golf club designer for over 35 years. He's with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii-savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
Maruyama is on sale this weekend. Everything Maruyama up to 25% off. Yes, at Aloha Power Equipment Superstore, right next to the Costco gas station, where you can get everything you need, whether it's weed whackers or saws or mowers or blowers. Yes. This weekend, again, Evile and the Waipahu store. The Waipahu store is open. They have their superstore, and a whole bunch of new product has arrived. So not only is everything Maruyama on sale, there's sales going on in all the equipment categories and different makes and models. Just head on over to Aloha Power Equipment, the superstore next door to the Costco gas station.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evile. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evile parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evile.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse. and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Tom Warshawn, leading golf club designer for over 35 years, author of more than 5 books, including Search for the Perfect Golf Club, Search for the Perfect Driver, Veteran Golf Equipment Industry Specialist, Clubhead Design, Shaft Analysis, Club Fitting Research and Development. He designed the clubs used by Scott Verplank, Bruce Lipsky, Ben Crenshaw, and in 1999, before his so untimely death, Payne Stewart. All right, I've asked him to be on the show this morning. Welcome into the clubhouse. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Danielle, how you doing? Been a while.
It's been a while, and it's so good to hear your voice. So, you know, we can't go through all 12 myths. We'd be talking for hours. but I picked up two that I thought, see, number one is the modern golf clubs hit it farther than clubs of even a few years back. And number five, I know I play a stiff shaft. It says so right on it. To me, that fitting a shaft, in the way I look at things, and I'm a novice, is one of the most difficult things for a golfer to understand. Can we start off with number five and go back to number one after we talk a little bit about, I know I play a stiff shaft. It says so right on it.
Yeah. You know, that's always been a big one. I got really heavily involved in shaft research almost from the very beginning of my career because, you know, nobody could give me any answers. You know, when I call the shaft companies and ask them for how do you define an S-flex, a stiff flex, or a regular flex or something like that, you know, I never got any straight answers to it. So I jumped into the pool myself, you know, and started doing the research. You know, real quickly, there are no standards for flex in the shaft industry. So the S-flex from one company could have the same stiffness as an R from a different company or an X from somebody else. It's how they choose they want to make it. And what's worse, they only label it with an S. Now, at least on club heads, you know, like, for example, one of the most important specs on a club head, loft angle, at least it's defined with an actual, you know, numerical designation, 10 degrees of loft. We know what that angle is for 10 degrees. You know, it's the same from one company to the next. But when you say S-flex or R-flex or X-flex, no, because there's no standard out there. So, you know, and the thing that makes it even more difficult is the fact that there are so many shafts these days that have just become ridiculously expensive out there. You know, to have a shaft for your driver, you know, where you have to pay $200 or $300 for the shaft.
Mm.
Did you ever wonder why you don't pay the same amount for an iron shaft? Because the companies can't get as much, you know, money for the iron shafts because you got to buy 6, 7, or 8 of them with that. But that driver, you know, that's out there, you know, they can tie in the, you know, the thought that you're going to hit it further because of the shafts. So, oh, by the way, let me ask you $200 or $300 for it. You know, which is, you know, just ridiculous, you know, out there. So to have shafts cost as much as they do and have no standard for how stiff something is, you've got to go out and buy it and try it, you know.
That's crazy.
You know, before. That's tough, you know, out there. So, you know, it is a difficult situation, and this is where you need to be able to put yourself in the hands of a competent custom club fitter, you know, who has, let's say, an inventory of different shafts that he can hook in and out of, you know, a driver or the other clubs, whatever you're looking at buying, to be able to give you a chance to try before you buy, you know. And it might be an R that you end up, you know, being fit the best into. It could still be an S or, you know, with that. But with no standards out there in the industry for how stiff any of these shafts are, you know, it's like squirrels hunting around. Maybe you'll find that acorn or maybe you won't.
So what is, do they stand to gain by not having an across-the-industry standard?
Well, I suppose you could say companies can financially gain because you keep trying different shafts and spending more money. They make more money.
Wow.
You know, from that standpoint. That's maybe a little harsh and cruel, but you know, if you have standards for how length of a club is measured or how loft angle is measured, you know, or how the weighting of a club is measured, there are standards for all those things. Why wouldn't you have a standard for how stiff the shaft is? Because that's a pretty important part of a golf club.
You just totally enlightened. I mean, I know the lights have gone on in so many people's head, you know, like, what? What? It's all different. Oh, dear. You know, no wonder I can't find this. And when you said a shaft does not make the ball go farther, can you?
Well, for some people, it can. You know, let's say if you're very poorly fit into your shaft, let's say you're playing with something, you know, unfortunately, ego gets in the way. And, you know, I'm sure there are a whole bunch of guys out there playing with S-Flex shafts, and they really shouldn't be because they don't have the club head speed or the swing characteristics to be able to bend that S-Flex shaft, you know, to the point where it performs properly. So, yeah, if you're playing with too stiff of a shaft and you get into something that's much better matched to your swing stiffness-wise, you can hit the ball a little bit farther from that. You know, some people like to go into much, much lighter weight shafts because they, you know, they buy into the belief that, okay, if the shaft weight is light, my clubs are a little lighter then, and I should be able to swing that faster. Okay, on paper, that's true. But if you don't get the head weight right, you know, for your swing tempo and your swing timing, so you have a good repeatable tempo and rhythm, you can't release the club properly to gain your maximum club head speed, you know, then. So, yeah, within the whole context of being fit, if you were not fit well for the shafts in your clubs before, getting into the proper shaft can get you a little bit more distance. But probably the biggest thing that's going to get you more distance is being able to hit the ball on the center of the face more often. Because just like one of the myths says, you know, your driver has a, you know, a huge sweet spot. Okay, off-center hits, the distance from an off-center hit is better than it used to be. The driver face engineering is much, much better than it was 20 years ago. But if you miss the center of the face, you're losing energy transfer, and you won't achieve the same ball speed and distance as if you could hit it more on center. So being able to be fit, you know, the biggest one there is that one myth we you know, that's in there that says the longer the length of your driver, the further you're going to hit it.
Right.
No, not, you know, not usually. You know, I mean, only if you hit that dead center and you have a fairly late release will a longer length hit the ball further. You start hitting the ball off center, you're going to start losing 5 to 10% of your potential distance. And it is a fact within club fitting that shorter length drivers allow golfers to hit it on center more often. You do that more often, and there are a bunch of people out there who've gone from a standard 45 to 46 inch length driver, and they go down to 43.5, 44, have it weighted right for your swing tempo, and they actually end up hitting the ball farther than they did with the longer length driver.
Sure, there's less that you've got to control. That, you know, we're not robots, unfortunately. And when you think right, and when you think about, you know, that sweet spot, that center where you have to hit it all the time to make it do exactly what that requires, all of our muscles, all of our thoughts, everything to be in perfect harmony time and time again, which is what we see on the tour, you know, until they don't.
Yeah, but, you know, it is funny, Danielle. You know, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time on the LPGA Tour, but in my career when I was younger, you know, I'd be out on the PGA Tour working with players, you know, who company I worked for may have had under contract, you know, making sure they were in the right clubs. You know, these guys, and I'm sure the women do on the LPGA Tour, the pros on tour, you know, they're working with their clubs every single day, you know, and most of the tours, I know the PGA Tour has club bands out there that the major companies put out there every week, you know, so they can tinker on the clubs. So, you know, the pros can experiment every day if they want to, you know, and many of them, you know, many of the players out there, they're very picky, you know, but much of it is about what feels right. And what the feel of a golf club for most of the players who are seeking that, they know it's tied in with a combination of the length of the club with the weighting of the club and how that all matches to your strength and your swing tempo. You know, I know there's a lot of listeners out there and golfers that if you just sometimes you happen to pick up a club, you swing it and you go, wow, this feels really good. You know, and what you're feeling is the balance point of the club, the head weight, the total weight of the club, the length of the club, and how that matches to your inherent ability to swing the golf club and release it, the impact. You get that feel, you know, through the length and the weighting of the club matched well to a golfer, that right there can bring about an instant overnight increase of 5% or more in distance just from having the right, you know, weighting so you have good tempo all the time.
Now, total sense. I hope you're listening to Tom Wishon, okay? Leading golf club designer for 35-plus years, author of more than 5 books, including Search for the Perfect Golf Club and Search for the Perfect Driver. We're going to go to myth number one because it kind of goes into that. Modern golf clubs hit it farther than clubs of even a few years back. So let's say, you know, 3 years ago they had this the best driver ever or the best line of irons ever made. You've got to get the new one. You've got to give up what you've been using. You've got to go buy that because you're going to have more distance.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, you know, for Daniel, for many golfers who are, let's say, over the age of 40 or 50, you know, like that, do you ever wonder why when you walk into a store you don't see a 2-iron or a 3-iron anymore? In many cases, you know, if you buy a set that has a 4-iron, you can't hit it. You can't get it high enough in the air, you know, to get maximum distance out of it. But, boy, you can go out there and you can buy a new set of irons and say, man, I hit this 7-iron longer than I hit the 7-iron in my old set. You know, that must be the technology. Well, no, what it is, it's what we call, and joking around, shrinking loft disease. You know, you go back to when I first started in club design, the loft of a 5-iron was 32 degrees. Today, you have sets that are being sold where the 5-iron loft is 21, 22, 23 degrees.
Whoa.
Average loft now among game improvement sets of irons for a 5-iron is more like 24, 24 and a half degrees these days. And it's been, you know, this steady over the years, companies gradually lower the lofts on each of the iron numbers. You know, they justify it by saying, oh, our great technology, you know, is so good that if you had normal lofts, older lofts, you'd hit it so high you'd lose distance. Well, that's garbage. That's not true at all, you know, out there. You do have iron sets now made with a thin, high-strength steel face, and they have a higher COR, so you have more ball speed. That's true. But that ball speed doesn't always translate into hitting it higher, you know, for most golfers for that. So, plain and simple, the biggest reason that companies have lowered the lofts on irons is to sell more sets. Because distance sells more golf clubs, or let's say the lure of distance sells more golf clubs than any other thing ever in a golf club in the history of the game. You give a golfer a 7-iron that he hits longer, you know, than he hits his normal 7-iron, more likely he's going to want to figure out a way to how he's going to buy that set. If he wants that, you know, none of us. I mean, I'm getting old now. You know, I'm 71. You know, my club head speed isn't what it used to be. It just happens to all of us when we age. And I hate it when I play my same golf course and all of a sudden I realize instead of being able to hit a 9-iron from that 150 mark, I now have to hit a club more.
Yeah.
You know, that. You know, it hurts. You know that. You know, with that. So yeah. You know, lower lofts on the irons. You can hit this. You know, you can fight off, you know, the loss of club head speed. But there's a cost for that. And the cost is you're probably not going to be able to hit your 5-iron or your 4-iron worth a hoot because their lofts are now so low that your club head speed cannot get that ball to fly high enough to stay in the air long enough to achieve maximum carry distance. You know, so the majority of golfers going out, it's okay if a company wants to lower the lofts, just tell us you're doing it.
Yeah.
So that then we can go in and you can have, let's say, an intelligent salesperson in the golf store say, no, Mr. Jones, I think your iron set should only be a 7-iron through the wedges. And instead of the 6, 5, and 4-iron, let's give you some high loft hybrids or high loft, you know, fairway woods you know, because they have a lower center of gravity and a more rear located center of gravity because of their little fat head down there than an iron. And they're going to be easier to get airborne because of that. You know, don't keep trying to struggle, trying to hit a modern 4-iron or 5-iron, or even for some golfers, even 6-iron, because their lofts are so low today, you know, that if you don't have the club head speed, you're not going to get the maximum distance out of that club.
Gosh, listening to you makes everything make sense again. You know, imagine I couldn't help but chuckle when I thought you talked about the 2 and 3 gone. Well, the 1's been gone for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were trying to hit a 1-iron at this point.
Yeah. No, it was really funny. My 37-year-old son, who works out continually, you know, and has 108-mile club head speed, was in my workshop the other day, and I had this old McGregor 1-iron. And he pulls it off the rack and looks at it, and he just starts laughing, you know, looking down at it. And I told him, I said, you know, really, that sounds bad. You know, that sounds really something to have a 1-iron down there. But that 1-iron had a 17-degree loft. All you have to do today, go into a modern golf store and pull a 4-iron off of a rack of a Super Game Improvement set, and that 4-iron's probably going to be around 18 degrees of loft because of shrinking loft disease. So you want to play what an old 1-iron was, go play a modern 4-iron.
Shrinking loft disease. Never heard that term until Tom Wishon joined us in the clubhouse. This has been wonderful. I hope that we can do this more often, like go through this whole book in over a few months.
Well, I hope you can't do, because, you know, Father Time keeps marching on, Danielle. I'm not getting any younger. One of these days, I'm not going to be around.
Well, that, you know, holds true for all of us. So, you know, that's why I'm thinking we need to do it now.
Yep, that is true.
Thank you so much for being on the show. This is Tom Wishon, leading golf club designer for 35-plus years, and his 12 myths that could wreck your golf game come from Search for the Perfect Golf Club, the book. So look for that. Is it still out there? I'm telling people.
Well, best way, Danielle, just go to wishongolf.com and look under the header for books.
Wishongolf.com. Awesome. Okay, guys and gals, you know, it's, and when I say guys, I always mean it. When I grew up, you know, guys meant girls, guy, everybody together. So everybody, wishongolf.com, get the book. There's so many wonderful points, and we'll be bringing them up here inside the clubhouse with Tom coming up in the next 2 months. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Pleasure, Danielle. May you keep hitting it good.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Aloha. We're going to come back.
Take care.
John Lindert, PGA, is the vice president of the PGA of America. The Country Club of Lansing in Grand Ledge, Michigan, is where he resides. But right now, he's over in a wonderful place in Arizona where the junior, the PGA Junior League, is competing. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Flood, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company expert. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
So how about
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at CyPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having CyPAC watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at CyPAC.com. That's CYPAC.com.
In case you missed it, Maruyama is on sale this weekend at Aloha Power Equipment to 25% off. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore next to the Costco gas station. Go there because they've got sales on all products across the board, you know, whichever company you like doing business with. Go into Aloha Power Equipment. The manufacturers are having sales, and you need to get in there and check it out. It's this weekend, Iwile and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It sees the play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
John Lindert, PGA Vice President, welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning. Good. How are you this morning?
Good, good. You must be supercharged with kid energy right now. The PGA Junior League Championship is underway in Arizona.
It is, and it is absolutely, you're right. Supercharged energy is everywhere. Young children from the ages of 10 to 13 out playing a great game of golf and showing off their skills.
Yes, and I was looking for the scores. It's a Blue Golf, I think it is. You can see scores there and how they're doing. Is this a three-day event?
It is. It is. So the first 2 days they have eight player teams. First 2 days will be two-person scramble, four different two-person scrambles for the team, collective group. So first place after day one was Illinois and North Carolina, I believe, were tied at 25 under par.
Wow.
So some pretty good golf from some pretty young players.
Yes.
And then after the first 2 days, we'll whittle it down to the top four teams and have more of a match play format for the top four teams to determine an overall champion.
Let's go back. You remember when the PGA Junior League was just a concept, an idea, to put a team flavor into the game of golf, have kids playing as a team. Did you ever expect it to be this successful?
You know, I don't think I did. I mean, 10 years ago this started, and it started as an idea, as you said, a concept of bringing something, the team concept, to golf and to junior golf, if you will, and to try to introduce new players into the game or the game of golf to juniors who've never really held a golf club before. And that was kind of the introduction, feeling like if you play a scramble, it's less daunting. It's not so, so much pressure on you having a partner with you. And so that was the genesis of all this. And then obviously the teams that qualify here for the national are really the all-star teams. And it's not kids that are just learning how to play golf, but it's kids who have a skill in golf. And even today, as we speak, we have a young lady out there, Anna Fang, who 13 years of age, played in the 2022 women's amateur at Chambers Bay and actually made the match play of 64 and actually won her first match. She is actually playing in PGA Junior League today. So it tells you where it's come from to where it is. We have such great players out there today. It's incredible. And yet, you know, at the local level, from my club at the Country Club of Lansing, we have young children who have never held a golf club before playing in PGA Junior League. The concept of having team names and team jerseys and your name on the back and pick out your number has really, really resonated with the kids.
Yeah. All of that team. And as you said earlier, it takes the pressure off. It's not just you. It's your team working together. Somebody's having an off day, the other one picks you up, helps you through it. It's wonderful. It helps teaches so many different aspects of that working together that we got to do eventually in life. So you're at Greyhawk Golf Club, the Raptor course, Scottsdale, Arizona. I've heard a lot of good stuff about Greyhawk. Tell us about the course.
So Greyhawk has hosted the NCAA championships a couple times. Fabulous golf course. Has some great nuances to it. I don't know if you watch any of the playback, but yesterday we had a young man by the name of Davis Watnowski drive the 17th green, which is 320 yards. So it's got some holes that these kids can actually drive. It's a wonderful layout. It's a true test of golf. Last year, we had two children from Team Minnesota make a hole in one. So it's a tremendous golf course. There's 36 holes here on property. We play the Raptor Golf Course. We've been here for 6 years. This is the sixth time that Greyhawk has hosted it. They treat it like a tour event. So when you walk on property, there's a player's lounge, and then there's a player's dining, and then there's a family dining. And they have the driving range roped off with placards identifying what team is utilizing what part of the range. They rope off the first tee. They rope off the 10th tee. We have walk-up music on the 10th tee for the kids. We announced, Don Ray, Secretary of the PGA of America, announced on 10 yesterday and today, and I announced on hole number one. We've got ESPN, ESPN Plus, ESPNU covering the event. Last year we had 10 hours worth of TV coverage, which tells you the growth of this. I mean, as you said, the concept 10 years ago, who would have thought ESPN would have reached out and provided coverage for this event? It's absolutely incredible.
It really is. It's fabulous. And Tony Finau, his son is playing, right?
Tony Finau's son is playing. His cousin is also playing. There's validation in of itself. You have a PGA Tour winner who's coming out here, and talking to Tony, he said he's more excited about this than some of the Ryder Cups or President's Cups that he's played in. To watch his son play and represent Team Utah is extremely exciting for him, and that speaks volumes for it. I mean, he trusts PGA Junior League enough to have his son as a participant, which I think is fantastic.
It is fantastic. Now, there's also percolating, I understand, a program that would bring juniors and parents into a teaching situation where they would compete together. Is that still in the works?
It is. Actually, we've had, I think it's 2 years now, we've done a trial program in my facility. The Country Club of Lansing was one of the test grounds for PGA Family Cup, which was a 9-hole par 3, and the teams could be any of the above and all of them together. We had a grandparent playing with the parent and the grandchild together. So the parent could play with their child, the grandparent could play with their child, they could play with multiple grandkids. We set our golf course up for the front nine was all par 3s, all short enough that everybody can hit the green. And it was tremendous success the first year. We ran it again this year with another percentage of increase of participants because it brings everybody together. As we've always known, golf is one of those sports that you can play for a lifetime, from birth to grave, as we say. But when you see everybody, the family unit, from grandchild to grandparent, all playing together, all playing in the fun event, it's tremendous.
That's awesome. John Linder at PGA, I'm so excited. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really do enjoy it.
I look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to come back with Anna DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief, publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, coffee table book. It's Golf Kitchen. Diana's with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You want a new home, but what do you need first? Call Cross Country Mortgage. Great customer service. They're your personal mortgage lender. Getting pre-approved is the key to being prepared to get the home you want. Cross Country offers a wide range of loans. Our Hawaii-savvy real estate lenders help your loan go smoothly. Call Derek at 808-445-4038. Experience mortgage made easy. Cross Country Mortgage, 808-445-4038.
You know what? Aloha Power Equipment is extending its 25% up to 25% off Maruyama products, plus all the other manufacturers. There are sales in their departments as well. You've got to go down to, if you haven't been there yet, you'll be really impressed when you walk through the doors, the Superstore, Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. It's on Alakava in Ivilei, right next door to the gas station, and just get in there. Okay, this weekend, you're going to have a great time. The Waipahu store is still open. Go there, too. We'll be back after this.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ivilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ivilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Ivilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessingham, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine. She's also a writer, and there's also a coffee table book that comes out. GolfKitchen.com is where you go. She's had the Golf Kitchen Invitational this year. Gary Player designed the golf course it was played on. That was fantastic. There was the Golf Kitchen Culinary Awards dinner at Glen Arbor on September 8th, 2022, this year. National Golf Course Restaurant Association, proud sponsor of the Invitational and the awards evening. Awesome. And creating scholarships at the Culinary Institute of America. All of this, Diana DeLucia has accomplished and a lot, lot more. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you? It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it's really good to hear your voice. Well, this past Monday, there was the Barenberg Invitational at Glen Arbor, followed by the evening gala, where $750,000 was raised for pancreatic cancer research through this centuries-old Barenberg Bank. It, with help from the much younger UNMC Pancreatic Center, and the Center for Excellence, and Nebraska Medicine Pancreatic Cancer Program. So, let's go back to this past Monday and this Barenberg Invitational. Tell us, has this been going on for a long time?
The event has been going on with Barenberg and Glen Arbor and Gary Player for over 20 years, and it was formerly known as the Gary Player Invitational. And there were some relationships made in Omaha with the hospital and pancreatic cancer and research, and there was quite a lot of people involved, and a lot of golf people had lost, it's very hard for me to talk about this, sorry, had lost people to pancreatic cancer. And that was how it started. So in 2021, the Gary Player Invitational became the Barenberg Bank Invitational, and that's now in its second year, and they've raised $1.5 million in 2 years.
That's incredible. And it's all played at the Glen Arbor Golf Club. It's a beautiful golf course.
Yeah, definitely. And you'd know the whole field. I'm not the golfer, but
the field
was absolutely incredible.
Gary Player, Tom Watson, Fred Couples, Mark O'Meara, Bernard Langer, Hale Irwin, Jeff Sluman, Tom Lehman, Mike Weir, Nick Price, Trevor Immelman, Colin Montgomery, Larry Mice, Fred Funk, Cheyenne Woods, Blair O'Neill, Brittany Lincecum, Camilla Lenarth, Cassandra Meyer, Annie Park, Charlie Hull, Emma Cabrera-Bello, Brittany Lang, Annabelle Dimmock, Lauren Taylor, Susanna Benavides. If I'm leaving someone out, I apologize. It's a huge field. And now, when they were playing, did they pay to play?
Oh, that I don't know. I'm imagining it's an invitational. I don't know that part of the tournament.
Were they donating to the cause by being there?
They had a major auction at the gala that was just mind-blowing.
Okay.
I could not even believe how much money they raised.
Well, $750,000 is a big... What were some of the things that were on auction?
Oh, they had lots of things, like, you know, really big packages that... You know, and they had some experiences with golfers and things of that nature. Nothing that I could put my hand up for, though.
Well, it was a little pricey, maybe.
Very. Very. No, it was really very... It was a wonderfully orchestrated event. I was there since... I had arrived at 8 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I don't normally go to the press conferences, but I was given this opportunity to do a story on the... Pancreatic Cancer Center for Culinary Excellence in Nebraska, and I sat in on the press conference. There was not a dry eye in the room. It was just incredibly emotional, and then we all kind of broke up and did our interviews personally with people that we were interviewing for our particular stories.
Right.
But it was a really uplifting experience and emotional to see that the depth of care that people have for the cause. And as you know, right now, pancreatic cancer, there isn't a cure.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Sunil, who I had interviewed, he is the director of the organization, and he's committed to finding a cure within 10 years.
Wow. There's a quote from him in the press release here. UNMC and Nebraska Medicine's partnership with Berenberg is vital to our research on the molecular complexities of pancreatic cancer and our continuing efforts in early detection of the disease. The Berenberg Invitational is especially meaningful because this cause is deeply personal to several of the professional golfers who participate in the tournament annually, as it is to me. You know, that really is the bottom line. When you know someone, we hear someone who's got pancreatic cancer in the world of entertainment, someone that you've become attached to because you've just followed them their entire career, or you've loved their movies, or whatever it happens to be, and you know they're going to be gone. There's no hope, because there's no cure, and they only find it when it's stage 4. You know, so yes, it's incredibly meaningful, and that in a mere 2 tournaments, $1,450,000 has already been raised for this. Now, what was it like? I know you interviewed Gary Player. Isn't he most charming man ever?
Oh, definitely. You know, I was in awe, like, because I have photographed him in the past, but to sit down and talk to him personally was an incredible honor, especially, you know, since his wife had passed away from pancreatic cancer. You know, it wasn't an easy interview.
Right.
But we did talk about, you know, the dietary habits of Americans in general, from childhood to adulthood and things of that nature, and how there could possibly be some kind of link between diet and disorder. But, you know, that's from his perspective and not for me to say. But it was a very interesting interview, and I'm working on transcribing that at the moment. But the bigger interview was with the doctor Janelle, who was just absolutely amazing, and I'm getting through that transcript because it was an hour and 20-minute interview.
Oh, of course it was. He would have...
So I've got to be particularly responsible with the scientific terminology.
just the scientific terminology would be interesting to transcribe, right?
Yeah, because I'm learning a lot from it. It's something different that I'm not used to writing about something like that, and it gives me a whole new perspective, in particular of the golf industry, because the generosity of the evening was just incredible.
How did you, when you met him, what was his connection to pancreatic cancer, the doctor? How did he get involved?
He was originally in Seattle, and he was working with he's trained in the Northeast. He was working in Seattle at a hospital there, focusing on finding a cure for pancreatic cancer and other cancers in that field. And then I haven't finished the story yet, so I don't want to kind of,
right,
you know, ruin it. But
right,
he then ended up with an offer in Nebraska surrounding Mr. Grant Gregory and others in the industry, and he proposed this whole vision. And from what I understand it, and don't quote me, this is just my recollection,
mm-hmm,
but when you go to the doctor, normally you see one doctor and you get diagnosed, and then 3 weeks later you've got to go and see another doctor, and then a couple of weeks later you might go to radiology, et cetera, et cetera. And that takes so much time off the patient's life, because your cancer's progressing really quickly during that time period.
Right.
What they've done is put everything in one center. So you go to the doctor once and everyone else is in that center. So there's no kind of go over to the campus all the way over there or get another doctor. Everyone's in that same center.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
And they're kind of reverse engineering, from what I understand. They're trying to reverse engineer to find out what causes it and how it develops, as opposed to how to cure it, how to prevent it.
Mm. It's
so
fascinating.
It's quite complicated.
Yeah, fascinating, because we always think that we can take this or take that and it's going to take care of everything. You know, just the doctor will have a cure for that. We can do so much, but with this particular one, it's a mystery. And to delve into that, I thought maybe he'd lost someone to pancreatic cancer, and which sparked that interest in him to go further. So when can we read your story that you're writing for this?
In the March edition next year.
In the March edition. And we can get a subscription to your magazine. You have everything in your magazines. In addition to fantastic photographs, you talk to the chefs, the sous chefs, you talk to the pastry chefs, you talk to everybody within the private country club world, and you create these wonderful articles in your magazine with the photographs that you've taken. And Diana DeLucia is the most amazing food photographer ever. She's award-winning. To get this, you also get, yes, the recipes. So I think it's so cool that they give out their recipes. That's usually said closely held secret.
I think a lot of chefs these days, they like to collaborate. They like to put their ideas out there. And really, when you think about it, every recipe has been inspired by something else. So, you know, just to keep developing that, you know, there's no point keeping recipes a secret, to be honest. Like, you've got to collaborate and put your ideas out in the world. And, you know, that's what a lot of chefs are doing right now in the industry. But one of the things I've been talking to chefs about recently, and I'm having the same issue, is just the continuation of supply chain issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the staffing issues and the supply chain issues, and those are causing like a huge balancing act in the industry, in all facets of the industry. It's just very frustrating. So, like, if it's not trucking, there's not enough truck drivers, or they're out of ink, or they're out of a particular gloss,
yes,
or a lemonade, or frying pans, or whatever it might be. It's just causing so much disruption in the industry, and I hope that 2023 is going to be a better year for all of us with where that's concerned.
Yeah, with that, yes. Yeah, the other day I was thinking, we buy grapes year-round. Does anybody remember when grapes were only available at a certain time of year and you couldn't get them? And then all of a sudden, Chile started growing grapes, and we could find, oh, there's grapes, and now grapes are everywhere all the time. It's truly amazing. We are so spoiled. But I certainly do hope that the people who were working before come back into the workforce. That would be great. And I hope, that the supply chain issues do get better, because it's very frustrating for so many people who've, you know, we've gotten accustomed to certain pleasures. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher of Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, also a coffee table book, and you can find it all at golfkitchen.com.
The Golf Club number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration. 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Flood, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company expert. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu, and we have a Copper Tech golf club. Make that glove for you. Yes, a Copper Tech golf glove for the ninth caller, 808-545-1111. Call now.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SciPac is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SciPac.com. That's CYPAC.com.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club is on the Jewel, Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, with guests including stars of golf from Hawaii and around the world, and no one leaves this show without giving you a tip to improve your game and maybe even your day. These folks help make it possible. Star Protection, get the star team on your property, Alakai Mechanical, the best in air conditioning statewide, and Moon Physical Therapy, they achieve results. Join me, Danielle Tucker, The Golf Club, on the Jewel.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author, Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we are running out of tournaments. We've got today the Epson Tour Championship is underway still at the LPGA International in Daytona, Florida. 10 cards were up, but three have already been collected for, you know, the Sweden's Linnea Strom, Lucy Lee, and Zhaowen Yin of China. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, Lucy Lee is just turning out to be a fantastic story. You know, I remember when she was 11 years old, 10 years old, playing in that 2014 U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst, and I was worried about how things would play out for her.
Mm-hmm.
But here she is. Here she is, you know, 8 years later, and she has progressed very, very steadily and slowly up through the amateur ranks, and she looks like she's ready for the pro tour now.
Yeah, and I remember 8 years ago when we were talking about worrying about, you know,
yep.
Is it too much too soon? And she did. She's handling it so well, and it's so exciting to see that she has her LPGA card now. Seven are still contending, including, here's another interesting story, Gabriela Ruffles.
Go ahead.
She started in the world of sport as a tennis player.
To me, this is one of the things I love about the Epson Tour, about the Korn Ferry Tour on the men's side. You know, is these are pipelines of new talent. These are pipelines for people that you were not thinking about, not expecting to all of a sudden pop up. And it's one of the things that I like about the structure of the major professional tours is there are doorways and pathways into the game for young, hungry talent.
Yeah, and there's a lot of young, hungry talent. 16 under, Hu Jung Jang. Bailey Tardy is 15 under, tied with Jeravi Bunshank, 15 under. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing names, because I haven't, you know, Dorsey Addix is 8 under on this round. She's at 14 under. They're shooting lights out golf on the Epson Tour and working their way hard to the LPGA. I always think about how much it costs to be on any of the tours, the feeder tours, to get to the top where you can actually make a living.
Yeah, you know, they've made a lot of progress on the Epson Tour of getting the purses up. It's still hard to make a living wage out there, you know, because of what the expenses are to travel. They do great things to the players, like find them host families at tournaments so that they can they don't have to pay to be in a hotel room. It's a lot better than it was 5 years ago out there. There's still a ways to go. Again, you look at the Korn Ferry Tour, you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars out there, you know, as you were trying to work your way onto the PGA Tour. If you're outside the top five, probably outside the top 10 on the Epson Tour money list, you're probably not making money. You know, you're out there trying to get your card to get on the LPGA. Where the money has gone up dramatically. LPGA is playing for over $90 million this year, and 10 years ago it was only about $42 million. So great, great improvement there.
Huge, huge. It is. It's wonderful to see the sponsors really stepping up and understanding that women are contenders. The LPGA Tour is moving to the close of this season, and the final CME Group Tour Championship, the final event of the year, that is, it's not the last CME Group Tour Championship. It's going to be held again at Tiburon Golf Club on the Black Course. We've got this week's Mediheal and then the BMW Ladies Championship, which plays in Korea, the Toto Japan Classic, it plays in Japan, and then back to Florida just a week later for the tournament after being in Japan. That's who does that run?
Yeah, you know, they lost two tournaments in this part of the Asia swing. They were supposed to go to China. They were supposed to go to Taiwan. And COVID sort of scratched both of those events. So it's going to be interesting to see who exactly makes the trip over to Korea and Japan. They're limited field events, no-cut events. But there's still a lot on the line here. We've got, you know, sort of Minji Lee has got a fairly firm hold on Player of the Year, but Brooke Henderson, Adia Titakul, and Lydia Ko are all within winning one tournament of catching her for Player of the Year. There's a great race going for the scoring title between Lydia Ko and Minji Lee. So, and if you look at the Rolex rankings, there are four players, Jin Young Ko, Thitical, Nelly Korda, Minji Lee, are all within 1 point of each other.
Wow, isn't that...
Still a lot up for grabs here as we're going down the stretch. Only four tournaments left. Two of them, as I said, are in Asia and are limited field events. So we'll be very curious to see who's over there. And probably the only award that we know right now that's probably gonna is a lock is Didakul is gonna be Rookie of the Year. It looks like she's had a 19 years old and she's had a tremendous season.
Truly, absolutely, truly. I was surprised. Patty Tadevatanikat, she had to withdraw for injury. Had you heard anything?
I don't know exactly what the injury is. I do know this. She swings the golf club incredibly hard. So anything that is gone wrong with her body is going to be something that she's going to have to come back on at a very measured pace, because she does go after the golf ball aggressively.
Yeah, that club has the speed. Christy Kerr also withdrew. I see that Tadevatanikat, she played one round and shot 77, but Christy didn't play. I love watching Christy Kerr.
Yeah, you know, it's you get the feeling that we're getting to the end of the Christy Kerr run out there, but very, very quietly, and rarely do you use the word quietly and Christy Kerr in the same sentence, but very, very quietly, in my mind, she has a Hall of Fame career. She's won 20 tournaments. She won two major championships, including the U.S. Women's Open, and I think that you could argue that over the last 20 years, she's been the best of the American players out there, and she has just been, when she starts walking those putts in and starts making putts, it's look out. I mean, the two best putters that I've seen on that tour are Invy Park and Christy Kerr.
Yeah, when you said walking those putts in, I had a visual, you know, I could see her do that. The way she would be down, it's just that she had a special way of letting you know that she knew it was going to go in. And
she's the kind of player that if she's on your team in the Solheim Cup, you love her as a teammate. If you're on the other team, she annoys the heck out of you when she starts walking those putts.
Yes, exactly. It's almost intimidating. It's wonderful. So, so what do you think about next year? When is the crown going to be played again?
Well, I don't know the exact date on that. To me, I think what's going to be exciting about next year is if you look at this year, a couple of names that we were expecting big things from this year, Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda, didn't exactly build on the great years that they had last year. Now, Nelly had the blood clot issue that was in there, but we saw so many other names pop up on the radar screen, like Didakul, and we saw some other names sort of reemerging. Lydia Ko, it's sort of, when I was doing my research for this segment, I was sort of surprised to see that Lydia Ko is leading in scoring average out there right now. She's number one in Race to the CME Globe points. Brooke Henderson is bounced back nicely this year. All of a sudden, and she's made the cut this week, Paula Creamer is creeping back out onto tour. So we saw the emergence of some old familiar faces get back in the mix. We saw some fresh faces pop up. But I'm going to be curious to see, going into next year, who's going to step up and say, this is going to be my season, sort of the way that Minji Lee did this year. You know, I think right now you have to say Minji Lee is the player of the year. She won a major and contended in all of them, really. But next year, do we see Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda really get back to playing the way they did last year?
Interesting, yes, truly. You know, I can't remember why Paula Creamer left actively playing on a regular basis.
There was a lot of things going on there. She had some injury problems. She went through a marriage that fell apart.
Oh.
She she's back now with and now she has a kid now too. So there's a lot that's gone on there. It's hard for me to believe. I remember covering the first tournament she won, and that was 17 years ago. In 2005 at Waikigil, the Sidebase Classic, and then later that year she won the Avion Championship before it was a major. She was only 18 years old then. She won that first tournament, and the next week she had the skipper high school graduation because she had qualified for the tournament the next week.
Yes, but, it was amazing. These kids, they just grow up.
Yeah.
What's up with that? I was curious about a couple of things that I saw you tweet. This is Ron Syrak, award-winning writer and Golf Channel contributor. I don't know if you want to go there, and if you'd rather not talk about confused when pro-live golf folk criticize the PGA Tour for having the conflicting events clause. Do live contracts allow its players to compete in PGA Tour events? Opposite live tournaments, just asking. I thought that was a really good thought.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when and the LIV supporters on social media and love to talk about how restrictive the PGA Tour membership rules are, but what they don't talk about is how restrictive the LIV golf contracts are. You know, they're going to play 14 tournaments next year, and I guarantee you those contracts say that those 14 weeks they can't play in a PGA Tour event. Any sports organization has restrictions on their players. And when you become a member of the PGA Tour, you are a member of the PGA Tour. You pay dues. You get a lot of benefits in return for that. They organize all the tournaments that enable you an opportunity to win millions of dollars. But you also agree to certain things. And one of them is the conflicting events rule, that if you were going to play in a tournament that is the same week as the PGA tournament, you have to ask permission for a release. And most of the time, those releases are granted, and the player can go play in the other event. But in the case of the LIV golfers, they decided no. But yeah, for the pro LIV people to bash the PGA Tour for the restrictions in their contracts without talking, and from what I've heard, and I've not seen a LIV contract, but from what I've heard, that not only does it restrict the players what events you can play in, it restricts what logos you can wear, and it restricts media interviews, you know, that your media interviews are controlled through LIV Golf. So there's a lot of restrictions in exchange for the big bucks they're getting. They're giving away a lot of their freedom.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, while we enjoy the normalcy of the tours and the playing and the watching, and it was so much fun seeing Jon Rahm playing in Spain. He obviously was feeling very, very comfortable again. Did you get that, you know, watching him?
Yeah.
That looked really good, seeing him in his own country and feeling the power that this confidence that comes over you. There is just, as an aside, it's always interesting to see what's happening over there between the two forces that be.
Well, I've been fascinated by the fact that I think this whole LIV golf situation has recharged the batteries of several players out there. Jon Rahm is one. I think Rory McIlroy is another one.
Yeah.
I'm looking for McIlroy to have a really big year next year. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rahm and McIlroy both go out and contend in multiple majors, you know, and each of them win a major next year. I think this whole situation has lit a fire under them. Now, I'm impressed with how Tiger Woods has emerged as a elder statesman spokesman in the game. You know, that's not a role I 5 years ago I would have predicted that he would fulfill, but
he
is. So
yeah.
So it's done some fascinating things.
Ron Syrak, thank you so much for being on the show. Award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, Play Your Best Golf Now, one of the three books, Vision 54 Trilogy. Get it. Thanks for being on the show, Ron.
Always a pleasure. Aloha.
Aloha. And speaking of Aloha Power Equipment's megastore is having a sale. All of their manufacturers, something is on sale for Maruyama, up to 25% off on the products in the store. That is Aloha Power Equipment Yes, we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. And call Derek, Cross Country Mortgage, great customer service, your personal mortgage lender. We make sure our buyers are educated about what's going on when buying a home every step of the way. Derek's number is 445-4038. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, you need help right away. And they're licensed contractors. They can clean it up. They can fix it. That's right. 528-3434. We're honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is, yes, find a PGA. You'll get them, you'll find them at golf courses, and they love teaching, and you'll love learning. And SIPAC for cybersecurity for your company, for your organization. It's SIPAC, the deepest level of protection anywhere. 861-9595. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.